Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
When Ryan's, when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
WWE Raw just wrapped up 4 hours ago, and now it is time. We watched the show. We went to our neutral corners. We dissected the show in our mind, and now we are here to make sense of Raw in Brussels, Belgium.
The first time I've ever seen a Raw from Brussels in Belgium.
The first time they've ever seen a Raw from Brussels as well. How did you adapt, Wei, to your the WWE European vacation?
You mean like the time? The time zone today, it's actually not that convenient for me. Like airing at 3 o'clock is like right in the middle of like my day to do just like family stuff. So I can't even, it's not like I can come home and just start the show or whatever. So it's actually a bit more difficult, not going to lie. So it's
these greedy TKO live event planning schedules.
I love having the freedom though. I love having the freedom to choose when to watch it though.
Yeah. Yes, it's got its good and bad, being in the middle of the week, or in the middle of the day, I should say. Well, if you want to go XL with us, postwrestlingcafe.com, we just spent 25 minutes going over all of the big news items from the weekend, including the unfortunate passing of independent wrestler Vince Steele, a recap of the New Japan Cup over the last couple of days as we are now down to David Finlay and Shota Umino squaring off, plus rundowns of Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling and TNA Sacrifice from over the weekend, WWE adding more and more to WrestleMania weekend, and what is coming up this week with NXT and AEW heading to Wei's favorite stomping grounds, Omaha, Nebraska.
I'd love to go to Omaha.
Wonderful city.
Yeah.
You have nothing more to add. Neither do I. I can't say much about Omaha. It's wonderful. All of that, plus for all of you members on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're still going to be taking your questions at the end of the show and an impromptu F1 review, the Australian Grand Prix, the real heel turn explained. Forget this John Cena stuff. That's what we had to discuss.
Interesting. The real heel turn explained. I'm curious to know what you mean by that.
Okay, we'll tune in later. Wei and I will go through the race from late Saturday night into the early Sunday morning, because you know what? There's nothing that gets F1 fans more excited than the chance of rain.
Oh, the best.
Just sycophants. All right, let's get into Raw tonight from Brussels, Belgium. Last number from WrestleTix, 8,078. Michael Cole joined by, coming out of the penalty box, Corey Graves. Pat McAfee ain't traveling over an ocean for this Raw commitment. So we might be getting Corey Graves for all of these international Raws. I can't imagine Pat McAfee is doing any of these.
I can't imagine either. So does it mean anything beyond that? I mean, who knows?
We could. You know what? They realized, okay, it was who was going to blink first between New Japan and WWE with a particular color commentators coming back. So you get Charlton and Graves all in the same week returning to their regular posts.
March is the month of forgiving commentators.
Yes, and no acknowledgement of Corey Graves' discretions online. Cole says, we owe John Cena the benefit of the doubt to explain his actions as they go into a big recap of Elimination Chamber. And that benefit was going to be given 35 minutes, okay? They were going to give him a large benefit of the doubt. So John Cena enters to his regular theme, and this entire arena is chanting, John Cena sucks. He comes out, regular attire, regular music. No,
by regular, you mean a custom-designed Belgium Brussels retirement tour.
Nothing visually that would strike you as any kind of character shift. I mean, this is the John Cena action figure look of the last 20 years that he was continuing.
What's distinguishable about this is no running to the ring, no talking to Stu, and no smile on his face.
Nope. Kept the towel, but no Stu, no jaunt.
Well, I mean, you got to sell the merch even as a heel.
So
merch that was probably made before the heel turn, I would probably guess.
Okay, we're gonna break all of this down. Okay, right from the choice of clothing to music, all of it's gonna be discussed here. John Cena leaving no stone unturned. The music ends, and then it's just vociferous dueling chants. Let's go, Cena! Cena sucks. The atmosphere is incredibly electric, and several times Cena teases just putting the microphone down and leaving, which part of me thought would have been excellent to do, but this crowd probably paid half their mortgage for some of these tickets, so they had to give them something. The chants turn into you sold out, and then Cena barely can be audible on this microphone because it's so loud that when you are properly grounded in life, you don't have to look outside for approval, which I don't know if that's going to fit on a t-shirt or a towel.
No, but it probably will fit in a tweet, okay? And this was like... Yes. I thought he was going to do the whole promo.
We were going to get John Cena proverbs for the whole heel run.
John Cena's online persona, if you want to call it that, at least his persona on X, which is very different from his persona on Instagram, for instance. But his persona on X is very much like just inspirational quotes. And I thought that was actually, that would have been an excellent way of like introducing a heel character, just the guy who does obnoxious like inspirational quotes. If he just starts off every promo with one of these, I would already be very satisfied here.
Cena says, you're making this so easy for me. I've been the victim for 25 years in an abusive relationship. You've been hurtful and you've bullied me, prompting a fuck you Cena chant that Netflix tried desperately to censor to varying results. And then stating the line that will be encompassing this entire run to go along with the look that has been memed to death where he is hugging Cody. I am not a babyface. I am not a heel. I'm a human being. And all of you have been awful to me. He says, you hated me when I first debuted, so I changed myself. It still wasn't enough. So then I went out and I worked hard. I won and I won and I won and I won. And you still hated it. I gave everything for you. And for the next 10 years, it still wasn't enough. Until a decade ago when you all suddenly backed me and it's been smooth sailing since. But we digress. It was never enough. Then I announced my retirement. And you ruined it, like you always do. He calls the fans idiots. No matter what I do, it's never been enough. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You take, and you take. All you fans care about is yourselves. What do we get? Not one of you sons of bitches ever asked how I felt. You get nothing. What you've earned is nothing. So there will be no new look, no new theme music. All you get is a long look in the mirror. And I would say, Wade, this line is the closest that I'm going to come that I don't believe that this heel turn was something that they were with in January. This felt very much like, I'm not saying like they came up with it like the day of, but you can go back and everyone looks at the Royal Rumble press conference and certainly that had the heelish tone to it. I have a lot more doubt that that was the idea at Royal Rumble based on this.
I feel like there's a very good chance that at some point in this run, he would have turned heel. I tend to agree that I don't know if I believe it was originally going to be this early. I mean, again, I don't know if we'll ever get the full story. But
like, this isn't just a return. This is a whole marketing effort this year. Like, they have all their merch lined up for every one of the 32 cities that he's going to be hitting. And this is very clear. We are not deviating from this marketing machine this year of custom shirts and the theme, at like everything. We are presenting this John Cena package as envisioned.
Sure. At the same time, if they wanted a heel theme, they certainly had enough time to do it. If they wanted a heel Titantron, they certainly would have had enough time to do it. Merchandising, again, if we're just kind of like playing devil's advocate, is that necessarily the thing? Because this is so tightly kept under wraps, is that the type of thing you might want potentially spoiled by like having production of like, I don't even know what a heel t-shirt design would entail, but certainly they're going to want to sell t-shirts. And it's just, you know, as far as the merchandising department,
the idea of presenting a different John Cena to represent the turn visually beyond just the promo.
Sure. But again, it's hard to say whether or not like this is by design. You know, we want Cena to look the same despite being heel, or if like they actually did consider making a different look. In either case, being a business, they want to sell as many t-shirts as possible while at the same time carrying on with the story. I feel like they'll still sell as many t-shirts as maybe that they originally were. But the content of the promo is interesting because he specifically pointed out people who bought those t-shirts and he made fun of them. Is that going to sell more shirts or sell less? I find it fascinating.
Cena refers to Cody Rhodes as the shiny new toy because you're putting me out to pasture. And he points out, you know, there's the Cena sucks jackoffs, but he also points out the Let's Go Cena people, and he identifies people in the crowd wearing his shirt. You're just as awful as those jackoffs. What have you ever done to support me? It was like, spend a lot of money on all your goddamn shirts would be number one.
Yeah.
That would be something, right? All you do is steal.
No, that's stealing, John. Okay.
You just steal my personal moments.
All of these patrons that sign up to our Patreon, they're just really stealing the content, even though they're paying for it. Some of them are actually stealing for it, but it's okay.
He goes on, for the last 20 years, I've been the butt of that goddamn Captain America joke from our first You've been the butt of an invisible joke for 20 years. That's just not funny. He says, you wear my shirt to make yourselves feel good. You cannot buy the words hustle, loyalty, or respect. You just use me as an excuse for your own pathetic life while you sit on your ass and watch me be great. He points to this kid who is the definition of a toxic, dysfunctional relationship. I am breaking up with all of you. You're dumped. I don't need you. You don't matter to me. And you all know you are wrong. So let's talk first about the Cena portion. This went like 20, 25 minutes. This was a super long promo. I want your thoughts first, Dwayne.
Well, in the case, just like in the case of Dwayne Johnson, there's long, but there's also like moments that deserve that sort of length. This was one of the biggest turns they've ever had in their history. So
the length was not
not at all for me.
That was the focus of this show. And this is, I mean, this was the whole crux of the show was John Cena.
Yeah. Now, if every week he comes out, cuts a 25-minute promo, I think that could probably, you know, run a bit long. But this first week, I mean, it was a perfectly fine amount of time. My first reactions to the promo, I actually didn't expect him to go that hard on the fans that remained. You know, we discussed that sort of split reaction to Cody just even last Monday, and speculating about, you know, what the sound is going to be at WrestleMania. If he didn't cut this promo tonight, I felt like there's a very good chance it would have still been split, if not even maybe even pro Cena, because Cena just comes in with that cool factor. I thought tonight was very much an effort to squash that so that they could put all the babyface focus on Cody Rhodes. And that almost surprised me because, again, this is a company that has a lot of merchandise to sell with John Cena, and they're just at least making an attempt to shame the people that actually chose to buy a John Cena shirt. Again, that
there were tears forming in Mark Shapiro's eyes.
See, I never really grew up as a Cena fan, but man, my heart broke a little for like people who did. You know, I'm thinking about this from the perspective of like that young Cena fan that they showed in the crowd, or all the kids they were showing crying watching at home. So I didn't expect him to maybe go as hard as he did. The way he treated it was very much like, as he said, like a breakup, you know, like a firm breakup, you know, the type of breakup where like somebody is going really hard because they feel justified that it's better to like, you know, rip the bandaid off and like pour alcohol in the wound rather than just like let any hope linger. This was him killing any hope of this relationship being rekindled.
It does make you wonder as well, like that has been so the focus of the kids, the poor kids. I wonder, like, how many, like, let's say under 10, for instance, like, under 10, are you that big, like, is John Cena the character that's really pulling kids into wrestling over this last decade? I mean, he's been present, but he has not been that constant. I would argue, like, the younger kids right now, they are, like, your Cody fans, your Punk fans, your name your baby face. Whereas Cena, I would say, like, the most impressionable audience that got into wrestling through Cena, these are teenagers that are probably thinking this is like when Hogan turned, like, this is really cool that we're seeing this guy. If we're talking about 15, 16 year olds that, and maybe even older, that were really into Cena 18 years ago as their first big star that brought them into wrestling.
Certainly. And that's why this isn't as big of a risk as it would have been. That's why this is such a brilliant decision. But it doesn't mean there aren't those young Cena fans that are still out there. I have to think, you know, even if they didn't grow up with Cena in the prime of his career, there are probably still plenty of them.
Well, they also saw that video when the Netflix era started. They know this is all storytelling, and there's heels, there's baby faces. This is just good storytelling.
Yeah. What did you think about the promo itself?
I thought the atmosphere was an A+. Mm-hmm. I thought the promo itself, I would give like a B. My main reasoning being that it's like we talk about when there is that turn where it's just, it's such a hard pivot. And I think everyone wants to hear John Cena as a heel. I was just looking for a more kind of creative explanation and something kind of grounded beyond, oh, you all booed me for all of those years, which part of it is just like, there's such a distance between, like, again, if we're talking about like younger audiences that have got into pro wrestling in this period over the last 10 years, they have not even lived through the whole John Cena sucks stuff. Like, John Cena has been a complete beloved figure this last decade, really from that US title run onward. Like, no mention of The Rock in this, and you do have to save some things. I was just looking for some more kind of cohesion behind this turn. And like, just watching this in a vacuum almost felt like, let's turn John Cena heel. It's such a cool thing to do. And we didn't have the next step really. Like, I just didn't feel like this was the big solid speech that everything clicks in terms of making sense of it all. And that's what I was looking for more of.
I think it was missing this sort of like latest crowd turn on Cena. Cena kind of like indicated that, I announced my retirement and you guys have to go and ruin it. Well, how exactly did the audience really ruin it? He ended Chamber on a real high with the audience cheering for him like crazy. So where exactly did the audience turn on him? That also is another thing that might me second guess that they might have had this all mapped up from the beginning, and that March was supposed to be the month when he actually executed this heel turn. So that, I agree, was kind of missing a little bit. As far as his delivery goes, I personally would have liked to see him like provide a bit less of an animated tight tone of delivery. He kind of did this promo as if he was speaking like a regular John Cena. I would have preferred that he maybe maintained more of that sort of like silent killer vibe that I think he established during the actual turn itself. This was Cena speaking almost like, at times I kind of felt playfully, you know what I mean? And I don't know if he at this point knows how to do a promo any differently, but I was kind of excited to.
He's been this John Cena for 20 years, and it just felt like it was, it obviously like it's a different role for him to play. And it was just such a,
but shit, like my big thing is sometimes there are points in this promo where it felt like a role rather than feeling like
it
should be him.
I don't disagree at all. Yes. So with all this, again, this is about like 25 minutes or so. And then Cody Rhodes enters and he comes out. And first of all, the guy's smiling as he comes out here. Again, the atmosphere is incredible. So if for like, I'm certain most people have watched this by now, but it really added a lot to this. And Cody said, "I was willing to hear you out." Very understandable man here. It was, I got to hear him out first, figure out why my eardrum is busted. And he defends the fans who have also given John Cena their best because he was special. You could take it and carry it. And Cena goes to say, "Listen, kid, enough," says Cody. "It's WWE champion," said the 39-year-old kid. Cody said, "I was looking forward to going toe-to-toe with John Cena weekly in the lead-up to WrestleMania. Instead, I've got this. And this version of John Cena better not show up at WrestleMania because I'll run over it. So go find the real Cena because I don't want to face this whiny bitch." And Cody exits, leaving Cena alone in the ring, where Cena tosses the mic down and leaves as the fans are singing goodbye to John Cena. And next week, we will do the exact same thing with the two under the same roof.
Under the same roof again, yeah. Cody, you know, didn't need to say much here. I mean, the segment was already 25 minutes, but he also, listen, we can nitpick the segment to death. In the end, it's John Cena cutting a heel promo, and that's going to be successful, and it was very successful in front of Brussels, like, which is, you know, I think what if he could have really said minimal, and it would have still been a very successful segment. So overall, like, they probably couldn't have been happier with the reaction to all of this. And for Cody, it was just an easy layup. Come out here, delivered the few lines he had incredibly strong. And I would certainly say Brussels did its job here, gave this big segment an incredible atmosphere.
Did it give you, you know, we discussed last week just the, like, what the crowds are going to react to. Do you have a feeling like that will continue to be something that these crowds will be very pro Cena, that they're going to have to work on? Or do you feel there's going to be enough of just the copycat audiences that understand what the dynamic of these roles are, and it's going to be less aversive to you know, having to fight that in some of the layout of these segments?
I don't think the crowds are going to turn on Cody. I think Cody is continuing, if you know, this week is any indication, he's continuing to maintain his cool appeal. Like, this, very often baby faces can just kind of feel, especially in contrast to a cool heel, can feel lamer. But Cody isn't that. Like, Cody is just, that's what makes him special. He doesn't just feel like a lame baby face. I think Cena is going to continue to try, but that sort of, like, you know, any audience above 12 is probably still going to think that he's incredibly cool. So barring some like real great heat getting moment, I feel like these split crowds are still going to continue.
When is the first time the hat comes off to reveal the covered up bald spot?
Now,
does it happen before Mania?
Is that going to get him booed? Because I think a bigger bald spot will probably get him booed.
See, I feel it will get him heat because it'll be an obvious maintenance.
He should just have a big toupee.
Yes, because we go back, and what were the very first words out of his mouth tonight is that a person that is truly grounded does not worry about the criticism of those on the outside. And here is the man ceding that insecurity to the audience by having to get hair restoration for that bald spot.
Well, maybe he'll be making a stop in Turkey on this European tour.
Why not? Yes. Yeah. So there you have it. That was our big the big segment that, I mean, this was the first half hour or so of the show, And both will be on. Well, Cena's advertised for the next 2 weeks, and I would imagine probably additional shows before WrestleMania.
Just for Raw. Not to
He's
back
only him. Listed right now for the next 2 weeks of Raw, which are two overseas shows, is what he is listed for.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
First match is the... Well, first, Michael Cole reacts. And after knowing John Cena for over two decades, he credits the fans for all of Cena's success, and Cena is being an irrational prick.
Mm.
So Michael Cole has spoken. They tee up the IC title match that is coming up later in the main event with Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat highlights from 1987. Ludwig Kaiser against Penta, no holds barred match. Penta landed a Rana off of the barricade, sending Kaiser into the post, and then hits a Tope Kanhiro. They go onto the desk. Kaiser goes to the eyes and hits a Death Valley driver on the desk. And Corey notes that in studying Penta, he texted his brother, Sam Adonis, for some tips on Penta. So Kaiser circles the ring, and as he's running around, gets back body dropped onto the desk. Kaiser says, "You will fear me." And he gets a chair, uses it to the back, then goes to the throat, and then the reversal, and Penta snaps the arm. Kaiser's begging off, and we actually get a verbal submission here where he says, "I give up, you win." But it did not end there. Super kicks him into the face with the chair, and then a Mexican destroyer followed by the Penta driver in 1051 as Ludwig Kaiser falls to Penta. And Penta states to Kathy Kelly that he is going for the Intercontinental title.
I thought a very good match made great by this incredible crowd. Again, like
this should be a European based promotion.
Or at least like maybe they should go to a different country for every edition of Raw, like one that they've never been to before. Just hit up every country. I'm sure there are 52 countries that they could find to do a new show in every year. I just thought Penta came across like such a big star, you know, with this sort of reaction. And I would have thought like by this point, that sort of like fresh feeling for Penta would have dissipated by now, but it really has not. He's only become a bigger star. And I think, you know, you need guys like Kaiser who can do a great job of serving that sort of like place for Kenta to, sorry, Penta to, Kenta they weren't that successful with, but for Penta to be able to, you know, shine this way. So he definitely feels like he's going to be the one, I think, who should, you know, end WrestleMania with that IC title.
Penta Kobashi.
Yes.
Dakota Kai is walking backstage, and we see Dominik in conversation with Karrion Kross. The Judgment Day are in the back. Liv still has these welts over around her waist from the braid spot at Elimination Chamber.
Don't get hit with that hair. Don't touch that hair. All right.
I mean, at least it looked great and sounded great, you know, and everyone got to see it. Balor thanks Dominic for the for getting him the title match tonight against Bron Breakker, and Dominic mentions he has an idea of adding Penta to the group, and Finn Balor is livid that Dom has gone behind his back because Penta just stated that he wants his IC title and calls Dominic a snake. And Dominic remarks that he didn't even know Penta was going for the title, prompting Carlito to ask him if he even watched this show.
Maybe he has American Netflix, can't access it live. Right?
I mean, the segment also had just happened in the arena. I mean, plausible miss on Dominic's part.
I guess it's very clear that we're getting to Penta versus Balor, possibly versus AJ as well as a four-way for WrestleMania.
It seems to be going that direction where I can imagine some kind of multi. I think we're going to get quite a few multi-persons on these cards in Vegas.
Does this mean that we aren't going to get a new Judgment Day member, and that this entire time Dom has been hinting towards Penta just to lead to this program? Or do you actually expect a new member?
I think we're getting a new member. I think there's going to be all these red herrings of who it will be, but I think ultimately there's a big member coming and Dominic pulling the strings here. Mm-hmm. Ivy Nile and Dakota Kai, Chad Gable runs down, joining the Creeds, and then Gable blocks Dakota from running the rope, so Nile does a scoop slam into a Uranagi. Ray and Dragon Lee run down, attacking the Creeds, and then chase Gable into the stands, so this distracts Nile, leading to a Huluva kick and the GTK, Dakota winning in 2 minutes and 48 seconds. Quick match, and more of LWO to come, and more with Chad Gable as well. After his one-week visit to Mexico, that has prompted. It just felt like we were going to get weeks of this man going through training and sleuthing to find out all these secrets. And we got one vignette of him handing over some money, and that has prompted this whole character.
Well, I don't know.
He was gone for many weeks, but we just got the one vignette.
Part of me thinks that the original plan for that might have been a bit more involved, might have actually involved, like, I don't know, a run in like one of the Mexican promotions, for instance. But he got a special mask from a creepy dude in an alleyway. OK, that's enough for the story. Not a whole lot to say about this Nile versus Dakota match. I don't exactly know who they're pushing here in all of this, because it feels like they're just kind of exchanging wins sometimes. Like
they both lost to Lyra, so I don't think anyone is really going anywhere.
Just a bit of a backdrop for this LWO and American Made.
And then one of the classic contract signings, overseen by Adam Pearce with Io Sky and Bianca Belair. Sky states that she will not be disrespected any longer. She is champion now. She will be champion after WrestleMania, signing the contract. And Belair respects Io. She gave her a pass last week, and I will not let you put your hands on me again. I'm going to win at WrestleMania, which the crowd, they were behind Io here, and they did treat Belair as the heel. Mm-hmm. At the end of this, as a signal of what was to come, Pierce thanks both women for being so professional after the contract had been signed. I was so hoping this would be the end of the segment. Just a contract signing with nothing. But then Rhea comes out and she calls out Belair for getting involved in her business in her title match. So Belair once again just pie faces Io in the face. Rhea headbutts Belair and we have Belair on the table. She lifts up Io to powerbomb Belair, and this table is also not going to be disrespected any longer. And the table prevail. I thought the table should have got the title shot by the end of this segment. It was the toughest apparatus here.
They're reinforcing every table that exists.
Yes, there are no loose screws in the WWE construction set. Mm-hmm. Rhea then commandeers the contract. And just signs her name on this contract. I was like, this is the greatest pro wrestling contract signing of all time. A perfect example of contract law. And to their credit, Adam Pearce was at least trying to call out how ridiculous this is. And this cannot possibly hold up. It totally will. And we will get our three-way.
Yeah.
But amazing. Who would ever enter the Royal Rumble when there are these backdoor options to get into your title match at WrestleMania?
I guess that's the thing, you know. This is why I don't like three ways, especially when it comes to WrestleMania, because you completely negate, unless you have a tie at either the Rumble or the Chamber to really justify it. Just adding somebody like this without having to go through those hoops, I think it's always a big challenge and kills the credibility of some of those matches in the future. Listen, they've done it though in the past, and these rumbles and chambers are still very much fine. So it's not going to hurt it. In fact, it elevates the star power. It requires a sort of, you have to kind of let that part of the logic go. And I don't like doing that too much, but listen, it's Rhea Ripley. It'll add to the match.
Jey Uso is seen walking in the back towards the arena when he runs into Gunther, and there's a pull apart between them. Gunther mentioning his chat he had with Jimmy on Friday, and then Jimmy enters the arena, but from the usual entrance. He doesn't come through the crowd.
Jey enters.
Sorry, Jey is coming out to the crowd. And this, like, it was all darkened with like 9,000 phones out, and this looked incredible.
Amazing.
This entrance. And Jey Uso takes on Austin Theory. Simple, short match where Jey leapfrogs out of the corner, runs the ropes, flying spear, and pins Austin Theory in 29 seconds.
Hard to even call this a match. I mean, this was honestly what it needed to be, and that was a squash.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He super kicks Waller, and then Jey goes for a Tope Con Hero onto both men, and he comes down, and he smashes the back of his head on the apron coming down. And I was like, oh my God, this guy just jeopardized the next month of his life. And he just popped right up, got into the ring, and it was almost like he signaled, I'm fine, I'm fine. And boom, Gunther appears, sleeper hold applied. And Jey runs Gunther into the corner, fires back, rips the belt off Gunther, sending him to the floor, and hoists up the belt, which is always the kiss of death for a challenger. Thankfully, he seemed okay, because if you watch this, oh my God, I thought he like concussed himself coming down. It just nailed his head on this dive, but appeared to be okay. Hopefully
he's okay. I will say though, I wonder if taking some time off might not be the worst idea for this program, because they really do feel like they're running out of ideas. Okay?
No. They announced next week it's Jey and a partner against A-Town Down Under.
Oh, of course.
He can't miss this stuff. He needs to be on the road.
Yeah. Again, though, with this crowd, every segment feels successful. Every segment feels big. So like Jey simply holding up Gunther's championship felt like it worked. Okay. I'm not going to disagree there. But I do think that they are at the point now where they need to add a bit more substance to this feud. You know, like, we got such an early start on this, and it's just been week after week of like Gunther choking out Jey, like Jey cutting a strong promo to boost himself back up, then getting choked out again.
This is the same with Charlotte and Stratton. Like, there's a number of the Mania programs that it feels like we've got a 3 to 4 week plan, but we have 5 weeks until this show. And
there is some spinning off
of the wheels.
Now, the other side of that is years past, to bridge that gap, they would have done like a car angle or something, you know, like we would have had something way too out of line and just over the top to take us there. But I think there's a happy, middle ground somewhere. I just at least maybe.
What about a home invasion? Jey's overseas. Gunther goes to America.
Pays a visit to Mama Gunther in Austria. Oh, interesting. But like something just to kind of visually break it up, I don't think is the worst idea at all. Or just like maybe a more interesting promo to just kind of really dig at what the heart of this entire thing is. I know they've done like, I'm very sort of, I'm optimistic about the story they're trying to tell of Jey finding that his self-confidence. But I think it needs to be expanded and just kind of showcase in a more interesting way than I think what they've just hinted at so far.
I mean, he's red hot at the moment, and I think that overrides everything. But I don't disagree that this is a program that, I mean, I'm just envisioning, like, we've got a month until WrestleMania, and I do think you want to, and I think you can only go to the well so many times with Waller and Theory as your fall guys. I don't think we can squeeze much more after this tag match next week with these two. Pierce is arguing with Rhea and demands to be added to the match. And she says, quote, "It's a legal document and my name is on it." I'm just going to go sign like a lease or something and claim like I own this, this home now. I'd be very curious the Australian law and how this holds up. Pierce takes the contract as Belair and Io appear, and all three brawl backstage with Rhea continuing to be demanding her inclusion into the match. I think she's going to get into this match, Way. I think this strategy is going to work.
If you annoy somebody enough, you're probably going to get your WrestleMania main event. Yeah.
Yeah. This is how these UFC fighters, like, maybe this is what Tom Aspinall needs to do with John Jones. Just like sneak into the head office and sign a bout agreement that exists.
You kind of kid, but it actually does kind of hold true even in the UFC. I mean, like, somebody can't be a complete scrub, but creating some sort of audience interest through like online provocation actually is a bit of a key to getting a big match, isn't it?
Is that what Rhea's doing here?
Yeah, she's provoking.
She just stole a contract and wrote her name.
Well, again, mind games is maybe what you would classify this as.
The Creeds took on Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. Julius jumps Lee at the bell. Corey Graves states that the masked luchador last week, it could have been anyone. It could have been Del Wilkes or that jobber Tom Brandy. I can confirm it was not Del Wilkes who died 3 years ago. But I guess we can't rule out Tom Brandy. Salvatore.
Who's Tom Brandy? Who did
Tom Brandy was, was
he a masked wrestler?
He was, yeah. Tom Brandy. He was in the Northeast guy, WWE 97, 98, had his time. They get the heat on Lee throughout the break, and Ray gets the tag. Big tilt-a-whirl onto Julius, and then Ray is pressed off of Brutus and Julius into the DDT. Lee hits the flying Rana, sending Brutus to the floor, and then Julius scales to the top but gets shoved off by Ray, who hits a flying Rana, setting up the 619 and the springboard splash for the win in 5:44, dropping the dime on Julius. I really do enjoy these Creeds, but I do wonder like what an added year of NXT might have done for these guys who are, they're in a fine role, but could you have imagined like them just for 6 months being involved with Fraxium? Like, I feel they would have just been that much more seasoned in NXT, where they've got a role in WWE, but it's one where, I mean, it just, they're kind of playing the waiting game until they kind of look at them as, you know, they're really not even part of this, whatever this angle matures into. It feels this is more so about Chad Gable more so than the Creeds.
Yeah, I would argue they're in a pretty good place, though, like being under Gable where the pressure isn't so strong, but they still get to like be bigger characters, you know, playing heels. I think the bigger issue is they don't really have much of a division to compete against
It's them and the War Raiders.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The masked luchador returns, attacking Dragon Lee, and suplexes both. The crowd is chanting, "You suck," and "shoosh" at him as security chases him away.
Right, yeah. So could the reveal be anything but Chad Gable? Like, is there, like, just studying, okay, what this guy looks like?
I think when they do finally unmask him, I think they are going to play this out where he's finally unmasked and it isn't Chad Gable.
Who in the system, who currently signed to an NIL or in the PC might have the stature and is capable of delivering a German suplex like Chad Gable?
I don't know. Maybe it's a Jack Cartwheel. I don't know. I mean, Chad Gable, the one that not the most. You can find a lot of guys that probably fit the dimensions of a Chad Gable.
Oh yeah, it's but to pull a suplex off like that, I mean, he's got a pretty picture perfect one. So
Seth Rollins had a segment. This was like Cody Rhodes on SmackDown and Raw last week, where he pretty much had almost nothing to say, but he was out and this crowd just loved him. They sang his song forever, and Rollins was not halting them from singing this song. He just let it ride. They then eventually turn into CM Punk chants, but first he wants to talk about Roman Reigns, says, "What Roman did last week, I would have done the same thing, but Reigns still can't come up with a plan. Punk is the luckiest loser on the face of the planet, and I needed only a few more seconds, then I would have stomped his head, thus ending his WrestleMania dream and putting his career on ice." Which is a fine plan, but that's exactly what he did to him at Elimination Chamber, and did not end his WrestleMania dream, apparently, and didn't put his career on ice. So I don't know what another stomp would have done. But
this would have been a really, really hard, harder stomp. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the stomp he gave Reigns on the steps, that hard, ended Roman's career.
If he'd gave that one to Punk, I mean, it might have stopped Punk from making it to Mania. You took Reigns out for like a month.
Yeah, okay. I guess the timing might work. So Reigns and Punk are going to be in the same place this Friday on SmackDown, and immediately the crowd knows where this is going, and they boo. They're like, oh, wait a minute. It's not Friday. We're not in Italy. And Seth is going to confront them on Friday. But he said, that's Friday. Tonight is about you. And Seth announces that tonight we have a great main event, and let's sing my song. And the crowd's like, okay, that's a good compromise. Thanks, Seth. We're going to sing your song just like we did 5 minutes ago. And in his full Mark Zuckerberg look, complete with chain, Seth exited. With a half green blazer here for St. Patrick's Day.
Does Mark Zuckerberg look like this now?
Oh, no, he wears that very similar chain.
Oh, does he? Interesting. Yeah, this felt like a segment where they just didn't have a great idea of what
it's like.
This
we advertised Seth for the show, so he's going to appear.
They also didn't have a great out for him. Now, he's in a bit of an awkward position where I think in this feud, he certainly feels like the biggest heel among the three at this point, right? You know, you have CM Punk, who's really a pure babyface. Roman, who I think still is very much at this point, like, crowds are chanting OTC. They love Roman. Rollins has exhibited the most heelish tendencies through it all.
Do you think YTC is going to take off?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I certainly didn't hear.
But you know, at the same time, the crowd loved singing the song. But interestingly, like, he just kind of came out and just cut a pretty babyface, like, standard promo. Didn't really lean to any heelishness at all, and had the unfortunate task of coming out to push his appearance on Friday, where you're going to get the real segment and the real interaction between Reigns and Punk. And he should have just played it up as a heel, I would say, you know.
Well, as Paul Heyman said on Friday, it's not like Mussolini is going to stop you at the border. You could just buy a cheap plane ticket to Italy.
Yeah, I'd be curious
what we want is that international engagement of the international traveler. That's the audience that WWE can acquire, where a Raw is very different than a SmackDown. We get fans that they have passports.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, a quick trip from Belgium to Italy on Friday if you want to see all three of them together.
Realistically, how long of a drive is that?
A drive? I don't know. People are making that driveway.
Where are they in Italy?
It's Bologna, Italy.
Bologna. Yes. Drive.
I don't think that's driving distance.
12 hours.
That's kind of long.
That's from here to New York. Like, it's definitely driving.
Have you ever driven in New York?
I've taken a Greyhound. Yeah, I have.
You could train one to the other. Yeah. Very doable. So how dare these fans boo?
Yeah.
The location. This is perfect.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Next week, Raw will air at 4 p.m. Eastern because they're in Glasgow, Scotland. Lyra Valkyria defends the IC title against Raquel Rodriguez. CM Punk will appear. So basically, haha, Belgium. He's going to be everywhere but here. Jey Uso and a mystery partner against A-Town Down Under, and Cody and John Cena together under one roof. What will happen when these two are under one roof?
They will talk.
I don't know what more there is to say. They got a lot of it out tonight.
I mean, he, again, like you said, he didn't address The Rock, didn't address Travis Scott. I'd love to know what that relationship is like. Are they working on it?
We got to get Travis Scott one of these weeks. Yeah. Kathy Kelly interviews AJ Styles, and On the Raw Recap podcast, he had mentioned Logan Paul does not belong on their roster. So Karrion Kross and Scarlett walk in and states that perhaps, AJ, you're just mad at yourself because it took you 17 years to get to WWE. Logan got here immediately and accomplished everything you have in record time. AJ just walks away saying, this isn't working on me. I'm not giving you a WrestleMania spot. So off leaves AJ. And Karrion just hovers.
Yeah, well, first of all, who has the best hair among the three, okay? Like, I don't even know if we established a winner between AJ, Karrion Kross, but now adding Scarlett to the mix. I don't know. I'm sorry, Scarlett. You might be number three in this wow. race.
Yeah, I don't know. Karrion Kross has, like, a nice flow to his hair. But, you know, AJ is, what, 47? Look at the extension on
what
on
does
those
he
locks.
Use? What does yeah. he use, I wonder?
Well...
I neglected to remember the Logan Paul AJ feud that they're building to. So that definitely feels like it's a Mania direction, which I guess would make him out of contention for this age IC thing. They hinted at Braun. They must have changed direction at some point because that's not part of the plans at all, it seems.
Braun walks past Penta backstage. So more on those two later. Balor makes his entrance. He cut a promo during the commercial break. He had nothing to say, so all he did was list off every championship he's ever won and says that Braun has his dogs, but he's barking up the wrong tree. And he's going to take the title home to Ireland on St. Patrick's Day. Yes. I'm one member of the TKO family that Ireland can be proud of. Braun Breaker, Finn Balor for the IC title. Braun circles the ring and Balor just leaps. They called it a sling blade, but this was like a guy jumping in midair and just like throwing a forearm, and Breaker sold it as a sling blade. So Balor's playing around with him. This upsets Braun and he hits a flying elbow. Dom and Carlito run down and then a big lariat lands for Braun. Balor goes to the floor. So Braun leaps off the apron, clotheslining Balor onto the desk. Michael Cole announces that Balor might be dead. Braun gets caught with a sling blade in the ring, and then after missing the coup de grace, there is a leapfrog and a spear by Braun. He goes for the superplex when Carlito distracts the referee. Dom gets onto the apron and goes to stop Braun, but in doing so, crotches Finn Balor, and Dom is beside himself and looks shocked. Braun knocks both Carlito and Dom to the floor, hits his Breakensteiner, and spears Balor to retain the title in 12 and a half minutes. Afterward, Dom and Carlito stomp on Braun. When Dom grabs the IC title, Penta runs down, stopping the Judgment Day, and Braun spears Carlito. Penta holds up the title, hands it back to Braun, and that's our face-off, ending the show, certainly putting Braun Breaker and Penta together, the question being if this will be a multi-man or if they would go the singles route here. But certainly other names that you could see just thrown into this IC title picture.
Balor could be thrown in. I think Dom could be thrown in. Otherwise, it could be Balor and Dom, you know, being paired together in some
and putting Balor and Dom in. It could all be like Dom leading him to think, hey, I'm just there to help you. Like, they're obviously continuing this tension with Balor and Dom. That's a dumping ground to put them in.
Yeah. I think it's been fine for a mid-card program. I think Breaker continues to feel like somebody to be really excited about whenever he's in ring, certainly. I will say, though, in comparison to Penta, I'm curious to see how they will push Braun, because both of them are baby faces. But Penta is certainly, in my opinion, probably the harder baby face at the moment. So neither of them are big talkers, so I could see them introducing a Dom or Finn Balor into that feud in order to build that up, just to kind of add a more direct heel element to it as well. But, you know, they have two really hot, like, mid-tier prospects right now in a Braun Breaker, who's just really feeling like on the cusp of, like, you know, breaking through to that main event scene, and Penta, who's just like, man, like they're strapping the rocket to him and the fans are taken to it.
If Logan and AJ get their singles match post Mania, do we get a podcast of the two together,
AJ and Logan Paul,
when they bury the hatchet after their program?
So I don't know if AJ is a big enough name, but
name,
I mean,
Logan.
Why wouldn't he be? Like, Dom's been on that Logan Paul podcast. I mean, yeah, AJ probably would. Yeah, why not? Sure,
we'll find out.
You just want to hear AJ
maybe
Styles.
that should be the WrestleMania. They should just do a 20-minute podcast together instead of a match.
I would
the match that. The podcast night one, night two.
The match and then the podcast to follow.
Maybe they'll
after
do
the
a
match.
Podcast to shoot the angle to set up the match. We'll try and sit down and talk.
I think that would be great. Yes.
Okay. What'd you think about tonight's edition of Raw?
Obviously, much of my opinion is going to be centered around that opening segment. Really, I think one of the most anticipated promos that they've had in quite some time. And I thought it more than delivered in terms of certainly length, you know, gave you a very substantial John Cena promo. I think in terms of content, too, like, yes, like some things I think could have been a little bit better. But overall, I left very satisfied. And most of the things on the show, I felt very satisfied by, namely because of this crowd who I think colored every segment with just a wonderful backdrop that made everything come across way better than it probably even did.
Yeah, I mean, all these European shows, I think it's going to be really hard to have any kind of negative unless they do some terrible angle for any of these big programs. But I mean, think at this point, you know, they're kind of locked in for all their big Mania stuff. The crowds are going to be incredible these next few weeks. And the next two Raws, at least, we're going to have follow up with Cena, and I think that is going to be the hook for a lot of people. Again, the atmosphere was tremendous. I was left like I'm curious to see kind of the momentum for the Cena heel run and where it goes. They're in a no lose situation of whatever direction they want to go with. I think a lot of audiences are just going to be so engaged with this freshness of John Cena and how they tinker with it along the way, because I think they are going to have various like competing thoughts from various audiences and how Cena sort of like how he comes out of a segment like this and how best to craft this heel persona and strike the right balance that's going to peak for a month from now.
I'm very curious to see the effect on merchandising sales, you know, for the John Cena merch, and whether or not Cena directly shaming the audience for buying his merch is going to deter or promote more people to actually. No,
I think you're just going to have an endless number of Davey Portmans that it's their only chance to buy this. Remember, these are all like your city. It's the one night only shirt for this final tour stop. It's like this band is never playing again, and this is the custom shirt for your market. Like they're just, I've never really got that logic of like these heels that you, I guess in another era, you understand
for
it.
For children, I understand. Like, but in this case, what he may lose in children, he will be gaining in the Davey Portmans, you know, of this audience.
Bought two shirts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so like, you know, he might lose out on the sales of like, I don't know, the 10 and under crowd, but he'll gain 10 and above probably with plenty of other people. So.
Do they get a deal if you buy the whole John Cena package? Like you buy the hat, the shirt, the towel, the socks? Like, do they have like the John Cena outfit?
A sale? Are you kidding me, John?
No.
Maybe after they're out of the town, like I could probably buy a Brussels shirt next week on discount, but this week, no way. Come on.
Okay, well, there you have it. That was Raw from Brussels, Belgium. They'll be in Glasgow, Scotland next Monday. We're going to sign off on the free feed, but those that are on the Post Wrestling Cafe, the show continues. We're going to be taking your feedback and questions, plus an impromptu F1 recap of Saturday's 2025 opening race that Wei and I both took in over the weekend. So we are going to say goodbye to some of you, but for the rest, the show rolls on.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.